art, culture, politics, activism. Now, art in the pandemic age. Have you ever wondered why artists do what they do? What is their purpose? What are they trying to accomplish? I'm your host, Kyle Roman. Welcome to Artivism Now. Artivism, defined, is a portmanteau word combining art and activism. How is it that artists push the boundary of their medium? How do they move societies forward? How do they resolve issues in their neighborhoods, both local and worldwide? These questions are what we set out to answer by interviewing artists locally and the world over. We will get answers to those questions that artists put out there in the community. On episode 4 of Artivism Now, we welcome Jaime Santiago Longa, San Francisco-based artist. Jaime uses his unique way of accessing concept to bring light to poverty in the city that he grew up in and the city that he loves. All right, and welcome to Jaime Santiago Longa.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kyle.
I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. We were speaking a little bit before we started the recording, and you have many connections from your work as an artist that connect naturally to both the environment that you grew up in, and then also the people you grew up around. So, if you could for us, kind of describe how your art or what your art medium is, and then also how it connects with the culture and the environment around you.
Yeah, well, I'm primarily an oil painter. So that's what I've been doing for pretty much well over 10 years now. I was always, you know, wanting to do art since a young age. I have the pretty standard story of, like, I always like to draw, and it was just something I always loved to do. My parents, I was fortunate enough to where they would support me in that, and they would enroll me in classes and stuff. So yeah, I never really looked back throughout my whole life. I mean, it's just something that I love to this day, and I couldn't imagine not doing it. And then in terms of, like, the concepts, that stuff is, like, I've always been drawn to using art as a form of communication and a message. So to me, it's really all about communication and concept when it comes to making art, you know. So I've always been drawn to, like, trying to tackle deeper concepts and social justice issues, anything that pertains to just deeper levels of humanity. That could also be emotional or spiritual, you know. All of those factors are important to me in my art, and it could be a combination of many of those things within even just one piece. So I've just been really always drawn to that ever since I've been pursuing art seriously, is, like, how can I use painting as a medium for like serious messages and making people think about things in a deeper way. So that's where I'm at right now too. I'm just continuing to explore that. The culture that I grew up in, you know, I'm first generation American. My parents are immigrants from the Philippines. We're of Spanish and Filipino descent. So I'm also very interested in that side of it, like the immigrant experience and what it's like to be a first generation American. And growing up in San Francisco, I'm born and raised here in the city. So even in the time that I've been here, I'm not that old, I don't think, but you can see the change that's occurred even in a short time span within the past, I would say, 2 decades. So I'm really drawn right now to exploring those concepts of urban life and gentrification, homelessness, all of the things that deal with living within the city, the context of the urban environment, and how I view that personally, what I experience on a daily basis, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it may be. So that's what I'm really engaging with in my work at this point, I would say.
What you're able to accomplish with your work and through my study of your work is you're able to capture the depth of emotions, especially in your cityscapes, that a city could literally be feeling, even though we know a city isn't necessarily human in its own makeup. However, humans making up the city, your work interprets emotion through your use of different times of day, different weather textures in your oils. So what is it that that you feel like, because your work is so intensely emotional, what is it that you are trying to, with each piece, if you could maybe give us an example, what is it that you're trying to elicit from a viewer of your art? What's your main goal?
Yeah, you know, I think it changes depending on the piece. I tend to have a specific concept in mind for each painting. So I really think about what I'm trying to convey personally, but I also like to keep it a little bit open-ended with my work. So what I try not to do is hammer down a message too strongly. I want the viewer to also have their own perspective on it. So I would say, though, the broad themes that I tend to focus on in most of my work is just the sense of isolation that can be found in the city. And I think that's especially timely right now during the quarantine. So like how people can be around so many people within the urban context and still feel socially isolated or abandoned for a variety of reasons, you know, and it could be that they're coming from a different culture. They're down out of their luck and on the streets for whatever reason. I'm very interested in exploring those themes and as well as just seeing it through my own perspective. You know, I feel like I'm really blessed in that I've been able to grow up in the city and have a pretty decent life within it. So I feel like it's almost my responsibility to shine a light on those who are struggling, who don't have that privilege that I may have had growing up. And yeah, it's just, there's so many facets of the city environment that you could focus on. I like to try and find things that people normally wouldn't observe in the street, you know? It's very common where you'll see an artist paint just a beautiful urban scene, like just focusing on the beauty of the city. But I try to like go more into the alleyways and things like that, like focus on parts where they're easy to overlook and there might be something there that you are missing out on and something that gets you to think. So yeah, it's a variety of things that I'm focusing on, but yeah, I would say gentrification, a sense of isolation, and poverty are quite a few of the themes that I tend to focus on in my work.
Yeah, and I noticed that, and it is like you said, you don't just say, you're not just painting a graphic that says, you know, stop homelessness now or whatever. What you're doing is you're creating a setting for that discussion to happen through your artwork. And that's what I like so much about it, is that it's San Francisco and you do a lot more than cityscapes, and we'll get to that. The cityscapes just happen to be super powerful as well. And you're not just doing the, I don't think I saw the Golden Gate Bridge or any real landmarks. Yeah. If I did, mm-hmm. it was very few times out of all of your cityscapes, work. So I feel like it's your ability to capture those parts of the environment where the real heartbeat of the city is happening, from people in the community. I think that's what makes your work brilliant. And then it also is how you are connecting it to activism. You know, you're bringing to light what the real city looks like. And how does that work? Just kind of curiosity, like, describe maybe a portion of the beginning part of your process. So you have a concept in mind. What are the first, you know, one or two steps, just for kind of like, you know, the young burgeoning artists out there?
Yeah. So for me, what I like to do personally is just, I like to take walks in the city, and I'll always have my phone. I'm not like super into photography, but I'll just use my camera phone is what I'm trying to say, and take as many pictures as I can if I see something that strikes my eye. So I'm taking like hundreds of references usually to make one piece, and then combining just a few of them. That's probably the hardest part, is like trying to figure out what it is that you want to paint, and then getting the references to paint it and piecing it together. I feel like that's probably the most challenging part of the process. Mm-hmm. And then I almost think like painting is a journey, like where you'll have a concept in mind that you want to convey, but it can evolve as you're going along. So as you're painting an image, let's say you're doing a painting on a homeless guy outside on the street, feeling isolated. But then as you're painting that, you could feel like so many different things as you're painting it. And you'll even come across things in the painting that you may have not seen before, whether that's like other people who may have been in the scene, or the way that you're composing the scene, it tends to enhance the message even more, amplify it. So it's really a journey. But the initial process is just, you know, experiencing life in the city and making sure to capture it. Like I take many, many photos, and I then sit with those photos at home and try to figure out what it is that really is striking me and what I want to paint. So
you had mentioned it already, but I feel like it's something that we could go a little bit more into depth on, and you just kind of alluded to it as well. On your website, jaimelonga.com, your artist statement is extremely powerful, just as a piece of written art on its own, let alone the initial sentence of your second paragraph on there. Concept is vital to my creative process, and each piece is the product of immense reflection. So if you could describe a concept, how you come about concepts for your art pieces, and then also if you could connect it to like what you would say immense reflection is.
Yeah, so I feel like it's a very personal thing for me when I think about concepts in my work. I try not to paint anything that I don't have a connection with. Like it just doesn't interest me to paint something that I don't feel a personal or emotional relationship, like connection with the subject that I'm painting. So in terms of concept, I try to focus on themes, like deeper themes that I can relate to. Sometimes that's emotional. And like I said earlier, it can be a combo of like social justice, emotional, that type of thing, like all these different things coming together in one piece. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I've been focusing on a lot is like how we tend to shun people away who are different from us. So that's like a current concept that I'm really focusing on in current pieces. So I'm trying to convey what it is that feels like, you know, when you feel isolated from other people or shunned away because of this or that. It could be for so many different things. And I want people to form their own opinions on it and to just have that connection, because I think anybody can relate to that, where they've felt like shunned away from something or somebody, a group, whatever it may be. So people who are disenfranchised. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to focus on right now, on the concept side of things. But yeah, what was the second part of that question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's basically like, what is your reflection process? You brought up the term immense reflection. If you're willing to talk about it, like what does that look like for you?
Well, I tend to be like very meditative with each piece. So I really see like painting as almost like a spiritual activity, really, where I can get lost in it and meditate as I'm doing the painting. So that's something that is profound for me, is just the act of creating itself and bringing something into the world. It's a very deeply just personal, mm-hmm. intrinsic thing to humanity, I think, that you could go on and on about with the philosophy behind it. But I really spend a lot of time just reflecting on what I want to paint and how I want to paint it. Concept is central, like I say in that artist statement. So everything relates to the concept directly. The process has to enhance the concept and work with it. So the concept itself is what informs my process and tells me, like, how should I paint this? What should I use? How should I compose things? All of that.
Oh, very interesting. I like how you make the connection between the concept and process and the different forms that it could take, possibly, depending on the concept that you're trying to get at. That's a wonderful, honestly, I feel like I could put that piece of audio out there to all high school artists at the school that I teach at, and, you know, ask them, you know, for a week to analyze what that means for them. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. You also mention in your artist statement, with each piece I create, I realize ever more how much urban life is a reflection of the complexities of humankind as a whole. Now, urban life, it takes precedence in a lot of your work. What is it about that statement? How is it that urban life is so representative of the complexities to you?
Well, I feel like when you're in an urban environment, everything is amplified. You're around so many different people. And I think like people experience things in a very just extreme way a lot of the time in cities. So like, you know, all the news that you see every day, like a lot of it is just dealing with the urban context and like what's going on in these cities and in society. So I feel like you could explore the whole gamut of emotions that people experience within the context of cities. So like anything that you would want to focus on emotionally within humanity, you'll find that in a city environment. You'll find people who are depressed. You'll find people who are happy. You'll find people who are seeking justice, all these different things. So there's all this stuff going on within the urban context, and it's like a gold mine as an artist to explore all of these themes, and you almost have an unlimited resource there of like all of these concepts that you can explore. So, I mean, I've got so much more that I would like to do in the future. It's hard for me to comprehend artist block, honestly. And I know that's like for a lot of people, they're like, man, I have artist block and I don't know what to paint. To me, it's almost like I don't even know where to begin first. Like, right. There's so much that you could explore. And it's just a matter of like, what do I want to pick first? Yeah. And how do I want to say it? So I don't know. That, to me, it's just like there's so much that you could zone in on with exploring humanity, like within the urban context and otherwise. You know, it doesn't even have to be in the urban context, honestly. Like, you could just focus on emotion, mm-hmm. and there's so much there as well.
Right, and the ability to communicate that as being the anti artist's block is what makes your work so special, because you really are able to carve out the little tiny corners of life, I feel like, in a lot of your pieces. And so your observation of life seems to be as detailed and as incremental as it is meaningful, just from my own perspective in seeing a lot of your work. No wonder that the city and its inhabitants and the environment and your life and everything around you is so plentiful for your artwork. It's because of your own ability to incrementally observe a lot of the issues that go on around you, and then also to highlight the areas in which it happens. So, for instance, in a lot of your pieces, when you capture environment in your pieces, you also capture different socioeconomic levels, and there's also a lot of street art within your oil paintings as well. If you can expand upon the necessity for artists to reach multiple levels of stakeholders, multiple levels of audience, viewers with their art.
Yeah, you know, I think it's important when you're making a painting to consider your audience and how different people are going to react to it in their own way. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I try not to get too caught up in that, because I think if you think too much about like, well, it's for like this crowd or that crowd, it can influence you in a negative way, and almost like you'll be pandering to a certain, specific type of group. So mm-hmm. what I try to do is I try to just focus on what's the essential message that I'm trying to convey, and regardless of like how people will react to it, that's really up to them. Like, I try not to think too much about it with like how this type of person is going to react to it or that. I mean, I've experienced all kinds of reactions to my work, where I've had people who have loved certain pieces, and I've had people be pissed off at certain pieces that I've made. You know, like, I've experienced all of it, and what's important to me is that people are having a reaction. If people are having any type of reaction, whether that's good or bad, I feel like I'm doing something correct, because that means the art is speaking in a certain way. If it was just lukewarm, where people are just kind of passing by and being like, oh, that's nice, but they go on about their day, then I wouldn't feel as successful. You know, I want to get people to think about things in a deeper way, or to experience something that's really deep within themselves. So, mm-hmm. I just hope that people are getting something out of my images, whether that's something that makes them feel happy or something that changes them in a certain way. I just want some type of reaction. Mm-hmm. From people. I feel like that's the goal, really.
Serve with your work. Who are you trying to help through your work?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I definitely tend to focus on lower classes, you know, like that's one of the main subjects in my work, are those who are in the bottom rung of society, at least here in the United States, although in my future work, I'm trying to expand onwards to different parts of the world. In the past, like, definitely the poorer classes, like, in society are who I'm trying to focus on and shine a light on, especially in San Francisco with all the gentrification that's going on, the housing crisis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kyle, like, I've lived in San Francisco my whole life, and I think it's almost become something that people are desensitized to. I think, like, people always mention that, yeah, there's gentrification and I don't know what we're gonna do about it, but I think really what it comes down to is just economic inequality. Mm-hmm. To be honest, like, there's so much disparity with how wealth is distributed, and like, if certain types of jobs had more pay, like teachers or social workers, I feel like there could be so much change just on how wealth is dispersed within society. And I just try to shine a light on those things in my work as best I can. It's in a very subtle way with a lot of the work that I do, where I'll focus on specific characters or street scenes that kind of show what people are doing, what's going on, like, in reality. And then the disparity that exists there. Mm-hmm. So hopefully people are able to sense that in the work, and that it can eventually serve in some way, in a small way, at least get people thinking about these things in a deeper way. Mm-hmm. I honestly think there needs to be so much done to change things, and so many minds changed in high levels. So I feel like my job as an artist is just to get people thinking in the first place about it and start doing things actively, whatever way that they can.
Well, and I know from my viewing of your work, something that I really respect about it is that it shows people that life happens in this type of a setting. It shows people that life happens in settings that you don't belong to, and it's going on. And it could be a delivery truck in front of, you know, a cyclone fence with an overgrown field behind it. And there's graffiti on the delivery truck, but there's someone getting out of it and someone riding a bike by. People need to know that that life happens in different ways, and those different ways are oftentimes worse than the way that some of us are living in the present moment. And so I think that's what your work does beautifully, is that it captures those areas of life that that people who have a job, who have a home, and who have a family don't oftentimes think about, because they might be caught up in the rat race of society. But your work captures that well. And I think you're able to convey the message that you've spoken about well.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for that. I mean, I hope it does. And like I said earlier, there's just so many facets that you could focus on even within just one painting. Like that painting you were referring to with the graffiti on the truck, I think it's called School, right? So there's like this little girl basically walking to school in this kind of rundown neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, it's a very bright painting. Mm-hmm. So it's not totally just depressing and dark. Like you said, it kind of is a slice of life, and you can see people are going about their day and doing the best that they can with what they have, given the situation that they're in. So I think simple images like that speak in just a very profound way rather than hammering down something too much. I feel like a lot more can be gleaned from subtlety than just shoving something down people's throats. You know, I feel like I've been guilty of that, like early on in my work, of just like hammering down messages that I wanted, like, especially when you're young, you right. really want to just like get a message across like very blatantly and be unashamed. And right. But I think as you develop as an artist, you just get to appreciate more and more the power of subtlety and just how much can be drawn from that. So that's something that I'm working on more and more as an artist. And but that's not to say that sometimes it is okay, you know, to have something that is a little bit more strong, you know, like some of the current stuff that I'm doing is very strong. So it's not that I'm against it. It's just that I feel like subtlety at the same time is important. Whereas it just depends on the message you're conveying as well, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and you talked about some of the stuff that you're working on currently. Is there anything, without getting into spoilers or whatever, about what you're working on currently and what the subject matter is, possibly what your concept is that you're going for?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned earlier, I'm focusing a lot on how we view people who are different from us and shun people away, how we judge others who have a different experience from ours. So the current piece that I'm working on, I'm just finishing it up, is it's like a pen and ink drawing. So something very different from what I've done before. I like to use a lot of religious imagery in my work just based on my background.
Yeah.
But I do it in a way that like kind of sets people off at times, because I'm taking traditional imagery and placing it in the context of modern society. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, throwing in subcultures and stereotypes and different types of things that are actually happening in today's culture, like in regards to immigration and things of the like. So yeah, there's like a lot of very political and spiritual and just social justice messages that are going to be found like in the current work that I'm doing for sure. And it's really just all about like, why do we judge people who are different from us in a negative way? I really think that what it comes down to is we just have to treat one another with respect. And the art that I'm doing is just like really critiquing how we treat people badly, honestly, who are different from us. I think that a lot of people even do it without even knowing. So it's an important thing that needs to be brought out into the light. And it takes a lot of self-reflection on everybody's part, including me, where I'm like doing the piece and I'm like, well, am I viewing anybody this way? Or am I shunning anybody that I should not be shunning? So, it's definitely a very universal thing, but I'm trying to do it in a very strong type of format. And then additionally, I'm also doing work that is trying to tackle poverty in the Philippines, where my family's from. So that's going to be a future concept that I have in mind. There's a lot to be gleaned from there as well, in terms of just class inequality, economic disparity there, and classism, all of this stuff. So that's definitely coming soon, like in the future in my work.
Oh, wonderful. And I really like how you're taking what you've built in your home of San Francisco, and you have plans to export it to essentially take it around the world. Your ability to highlight life as it is with your work is special, and I'm excited. I can't wait to see what you can do when you get to that point working on the Philippines project, because international work can be absolutely powerful, because how many people know absolutely nothing about what's going on in the Philippines, nor would they know anything even if they read a news article. But sometimes it's the right image at the right moment that can bring light, like you said earlier.
Oh, exactly. And there's a lot of connection between the United States and the Philippines historically, and kind of the unwritten history of America is all the injustices that happened within the Philippines when they were attempting to make it into another state and annex it. So there's a lot that can be focused on there artistically with the historical aspect of it and how that has just come down generation upon generation and influenced the culture in all these different ways. So that's definitely something that I'm going to be focusing on, just from my own perspective. You know, I've been there myself a few times, and it just had such a profound impact on me to see the level of poverty and just the way that the economy is so grossly unjust within that whole society. It's very, very daunting when you see it for the first time. It's going to be something that I'm trying to convey in so many different ways artistically.
Well, we definitely can't wait until those projects are in the work. And, like you had said, there's an intense amount of classism that is, you know, an obvious connection to its, speaking about the Philippines, a connection to its colonial past from the United States involvement and previous to that, Spain.
Exactly.
And so it's a rich history of people as well that can be highlighted and respected and brought into the light. So I think it's gonna do great all the way around. It's a very rich subject to study.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the next piece that I have lined up, is actually just focusing on all the different hands that were in the Philippines, you know, from United States, Spain, Japan, all of these different countries had their hand in it. So, and how that's impacted the culture in a certain way. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot there that can be focused on.
All right. I can't wait for that. That sounds amazing. We'll have to have you back on for that.
Yeah.
Let's move on to why is it that, or why should artists be activists also, or why should artists use activism within their work?
Yeah, I feel like art in general, whether you like it or not, it's going to be activist in nature in a certain way. Because like I said in the beginning, art is a form of communication, whether you like it or not. If you're making, you're bringing something into the world that is telling a person something, even if it's just painting a landscape, like a beautiful scene of a tree, you're saying like, I think this is beautiful and I think you should see it. So it just depends what you're communicating. For me, I try to communicate in specific ways, like different things that I'm thinking, my own experience personally, I'm going about my life. So I feel like you are an activist no matter what. If you're making art of any sort, you're bringing something out there for people to focus on. So, it's a very powerful tool to be used in the world, and we have to use it in a positive way, in a way that's really going to make people do something different, something that will make change and inspire people to just be better at being humans, really, and making the culture a better place to live in.
Yeah, and the part that you said that really resonates is that you just want people to just treat each other with respect and be better humans, you know. And it's interesting when you can put something so simply but have it be so powerful. And I think that's by no means am I calling your work simple. It's extremely complex. However, the concepts that you choose to focus on seem like there is a little bit of hope there for humanity. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
If you could expand upon like what measure of hope do you have?
Oh yeah, I mean, I really think it's important to always have hope for like a better future, just for the betterment of whatever social justice issue that you're focusing on or emotional issue that it may be that you're focusing on. So, you know, I try to be optimistic about things even when it seems very dark and grim a lot of the times. I think we can definitely sense that currently with the pandemic that's going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I do want there to be a sense of hope in the work that I do, even in the darker ones that I have. You know, like some of the older paintings especially have a lot of very dark tones and just really somber type of scenes that they're focusing on. But even in those, like, I try to have some type of light within that, you know, whether that's coming from the sky or like a certain patch of color somewhere. I try to find ways to tie in positivity or even just with like focusing on the message itself. Like, even if it's a dark message, at least people are thinking about it, and so they're going to act upon it. You hope that they do, and that itself will bring something good out of it. So that's what I'm trying to do in my work, even on the darker ones.
Yeah, and the work that you have in terms of cityscapes, there, I'm looking at it right now on your gallery on your website. There's some pieces that it almost looks like, and for people who are not from San Francisco or the Bay Area, it almost looks like there's such an intense fog mist or might even be raindrops.
Yeah.
Kind of trickling down. But you always do have your use of shadow and then your use of cool and warm light.
Yeah.
To it. It really communicates the hope that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So if you could, just kind of getting, you know, deep into artist talk, how is it that you utilize texture to convey emotion, and then also choosing colors that are cool versus warm colors? Yeah. To convey like what is it that, what's a technique or some sort of secret of the trade that you could tell artists out there?
No, that's a great question. I feel like it's important to know that as a painter, of like how to create different effects and textures to really help convey the message that you're trying to get across. So, for me, I try to do a balance of like thin paint mixed with thicker textures, and I try to utilize a variety of different tools. So, of course, I'll have the standard brushes and everything, but even the types of brushes you use, that'll make a difference. So for me personally, I like to use hog hair bristle brushes. So they're very tough and coarse. It provides more texture when you're doing the brush work. And then in addition to that, I'll use palette knife a lot in some of those more textural type of pieces. That creates just a different type of mark on the panel in that case. And actually, that's another important thing to mention is most of my work is on panel. Mm-hmm. So it's not actually on canvas the majority of the time. It's going to be on a wood panel. I feel like that enhances the texture even more and gets it to stand out. Another tool actually that's less common, but is kind of like a tool of the trade right now that's getting pretty popular to use is a brayer. So like a roller would be the other term for it. Mm-hmm. So if you thin out the paint and use a roller, it's going to give you a completely different look from something you would get with a brush or even a palette knife. So. Right. There's a bunch of things you could use. I mean, I've even seen artists use like tin foil and crazy things like that. Sponges, of course, are another one. Yeah, but I feel like I'm of the mindset where nothing is out of bounds. Like, just use whatever you can. I mean, there's no set rule of like how to create a painting. I mean, of course, if you're learning traditionally, you want to follow these different rules and things, but down the line, when you're trying to make something powerful, I feel like it's important to just use whatever is at your disposal to create the painting that you're working on. And that comes down to just living, creating the piece, like having it be an experience for you and not just a technical exercise. So I think that's important, is just focusing on the act of creation as a powerful thing in itself. So, yeah.
You're not just about the technical side of it. You're about the experiential side of it. And one piece that really jumped out to me, it's the icon picture for your figure section on your website. It's called En el Rojo. And it's a gentleman has a t-shirt that has Cuba and the Cuban flag on it and a red backpack on. That really speaks to me because the cause of Cuba and the history is so rich with not only culture and language, but also rich with intense argument over who's right, who should be in power, how life should look like in Cuba. So if you could, just for my sake, maybe expand upon the painting En el Rojo.
That's a pretty recent piece. I did that just a few months back, and honestly what really initially drew me to make that piece was the character of the guy's face. It was just so powerful to me. I felt like I was so drawn to it that I had to paint it. Like, there was so much emotion and depth to be found there. And so I was trying to really capture, like you said, kind of the historicity of Cuba and all that entails, along with the emotional side of the figure that I was able to really just sense from the character of that guy. So I tried to use also mark making, brushwork, all of those things, color. You can see it's a very dark background, but the guy is in pretty strong lighting. There's some drippage that's even used in the background to create some even more atmospheric type of effects. I really wanted it to be a study on both kind of Cuba as well as the character of that person and his own experience. You can tell it's something that he is passionate about, so I wanted to really capture his experience of it as well, and get people to think about that.
Yeah, and you do it well. And me being a theater artist, I'm always caught up in figure and what people are wearing and what their hair looks like and how that's communicating. And I see a modern hairdo on him.
Absolutely.
T-shirt and backpack. So it's kind of communicating to me that the cause of Cuba or issues of Cuba are being communicated to a modern youth crowd, or this youth character is concerned with the issues of Cuba and all that that entails. It's very, very powerful and timely as well in the world.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad you were able to take that away from it, because I think that's pretty spot on, you know, with some of the stuff that I was thinking as I was painting it, and just some of the concepts that I was hoping to convey to other people, and just to see another person's perspective on it is just awesome, really.
Yeah. It's the website, it functions as an amazing picture bank of all of your wonderful work. And if people just go and click on the gallery section, and you can zoom in on things, and you can really, really sense the detail and all the concept that Jaime focuses on in his work. I think it's well worth going to. And now your work is being showcased somewhere, right? Would you want to talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. I'm currently exhibiting pieces at Elliot Fouts Gallery in Sacramento, California. So if you want to see any of the pieces like in person, it's mostly cityscapes that are there. That's the place to go. But, you know, I'm always expanding and looking to see other venues that I can showcase my work at as well. But that would be the primary one right now, is at Elliot Fouts Gallery in Sacramento. They're a great gallery, so I highly recommend anybody who's into art at all. I mean, they just have an amazing collection down there of both contemporary artists who are working today and older artists from the past that have made a profound impact on culture. So I'm really honored to be a part of that place.
Yeah, it's a wonderful gallery setup, and it's in Sacramento, which is great for people who are in the Bay Area. It's not too long of a drive to get up there. And then the website is EF Gallery, Elliot Fouts Gallery, efgallery.com. And then you just go to the artists section, you click on artists. But on your website, you have a direct link to your EF Gallery page, correct?
Yeah. So it'll take you directly to my page, just so to make it easier for anybody who's trying to find my work on there, because they have a pretty extensive list of artists who are exhibiting there. So if you click on the link on my website, it'll bring you directly to my section.
Yeah, so you would just go to the links section, and then there's something to click on for Elliot Fouts Gallery. That's amazing. It's lots of great work stored there. And then also, you've been involved in a really important nonprofit with a great mission in San Francisco, and it's called St. Anthony's Dining Room, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
stanthonyssf.org or stanthonysf.org is the website. Give us a rundown of the work that you've done, what the dining room does, the work that you've done with them.
Yeah, you know, so a few years back, I was really honored to be a volunteer there for quite a number of years. And the work that they do is very simple, but I think it's so important within the urban setting. So directly related to a lot of the type of artwork that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they have a dining hall, and they provide food for the homeless and for anybody who's in need, really. They can just line up and get food as needed. We try to make as much as we can. And I remember when I was volunteering there, I was able to just sit with the people who are there and eat with them. And this is related to what I was saying about how we shouldn't be afraid of, you know, being in relationship with people who may be of a different status or background from we are. I feel like that's such an important thing right now, is to find ways to build relationships with other people. And that was just one way of directly being able to sit with people and bond with them just in a simple way. And it's just fantastic what they're doing. And currently, because of the pandemic, like you mentioned before we were recording, they're doing these meals outside just to lessen the chance of spreading any disease. So they're really in the thick of it right now in the Tenderloin where they're based, because that's been probably one of the hot spots in the city of trying to make sure everybody stays safe during the pandemic and stop the spread of illness. But it's very difficult because of the homeless population that lives there. Mm-hmm. And it's just almost impossible to control, really. So I think it's just such an admirable thing that they're helping the way that they do, as much as they can, just basic needs with food and job placement to those who need it. So yeah, definitely recommend checking them out for anybody who's involved in just helping homeless or who wants to be involved. Mm-hmm. That would be one terrific organization to join in on.
Yeah, and I'll definitely post that website along with yours on the description of this episode too. And they, and I feel like also them persevering and taking the meal experience outside is, I mean, if you're looking at it as someone who's building that program, they're teaching people about social distancing by that effort. There's most likely conversations going on with people who are dealing with extremes of their own life because mm-hmm. of the pandemic. And there's healing going on. There's therapy going on. There's food and sustenance going on. There's conversation going on. And so the work that St. Anthony's does, it's not just only about the food, like you explained. The food invites conversation of people from all walks of life. And just reading about this, mm-hmm. Preparing for this episode, I was like, when this shelter in place is lifted, I need to go and do this. Like, it's making me want to go and, like you said, practice, you know, communicating and connecting with people that you wouldn't normally communicate and connect with, just on a human, simple human level, you know? And I think that's the, if I could choose one word to describe our conversation and your work and, both within your art medium and, in your activism and your advocacy, is humanity. Humanity is at the forefront of what you do. And it's admirable. And, I'm hoping that when the shelter in place is lifted, we can, you know, we can get together and have another talk and highlight some of your work in person.
Yeah, for sure, man. That'd be great. I would really love to do that for sure.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Like I said, we can find your work at jaimelonga.com, JAIME LONGA.com. Check his work out. It's pretty darn amazing. So thank you, Jaime.
Thank you so much, Kyle. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Anytime.
Special thanks to Jaime Longa for joining us today on Artivism Now, Episode 4. You can find him at jaimelonga.com. or on Instagram at Jaime Santiago Longa. And as usual, let the art flow, let it mean something, and goodbye.